Anthony Richardson is becoming the talk of the NFL draft. How far will he move up the draft boards, and what order will the quarterbacks be taken this year in the NFL draft? We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about some of the rule changes, including Thursday Night Football and what the NFL is planning to do there, as well as the latest Lamar Jackson drama and how he's clapping back at the people that are talking about his durability. All that and more here on the Friday edition of the Locked On NFL podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, here, my friend and co-host, your boy Q. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On NFL. Your daily NFL podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, welcome to the Locked On NFL podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, my friend and co-host, your boy Q. We host Locked On Steelers and Locked On Raiders, and today we host the Friday edition of the Locked On NFL podcast. As always, you can find this podcast on all your favorite podcasting platforms, but especially on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoy it. Subscribe to this YouTube channel to get all of your daily Monday through Friday episodes of Locked On NFL as we change our hosts all throughout the week, giving you different perspectives on your favorite sport and your favorite league, the NFL. Q, it's been a wild, wild offseason with all the things being talked about. And now, this week, after Florida's Pro Day, more and more people are starting to buy in on Anthony Richardson as a guy who should maybe he should crack the top five in the NFL draftees this year. What is your perspective as a guy who's seen his athleticism? Because Anthony Richardson came into this draft process looking like a different guy to a lot of experts, and now all of a sudden he's more and more looking like maybe one of the top guys in this class.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, man. It's so funny how a couple pro days or a couple conversations with people can make you change your perspective on a player. I mean, this whole draft process, I've looked at Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud as quarterback 1-2. And it doesn't matter what order you put them in. I think that both those guys are definitely going to be franchise quarterbacks. And then I've looked at Will Levis and Anthony Richardson and said, those guys have high ceilings, but are they really going to have the potential to be good franchise quarterbacks? And when you look at Anthony Richardson, he's a guy that only has 13 career college starts. So that's nothing, right? He's very, very raw as a quarterback, but you see all the athleticism that he has, and both you and myself were at the combine in Indianapolis when he put on a show, and everyone was kind of talking about him. And I remember standing there while he was at the podium and realizing how large of a dude this is. I mean, everyone talks about his size and his athleticism. This guy is a monster. So then you fast forward to Thursday, and he puts on a show at his pro day. And the thing about it is, sometimes it's all about timing, right? Last week, all three guys, talking about C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, and Will Levis, all had their pro days. Well, this week, it was Anthony Richardson, and that was it. I know Tennessee had theirs as well, but everyone knows Hendon Hooker is coming off the ACL tear, so he's not going to be out there performing. He was just kind of soft-tossing a couple balls here and there. But When you look at what Anthony Richardson did on Thursday and just oohed and awed and made everyone just say, wow, when they saw the way he was out there performing, it kind of makes you think twice, you know, if you're a team that needs a quarterback in the top 10, right? I've been saying he's going to be a top 10 quarterback anyway, just because teams need quarterbacks so desperately, so they're going to reach for a guy. So I already thought he was going to be a top 10, but after the show he put on at the pro day, and I know that we shouldn't carry as much weight on a pro day because it's scripted, there's no pads, there's no pass rush, right, there's no defenders. Like, I get all the reasons why you shouldn't react and overreact to a pro day, but then you hear him talk, and you hear him talk to Tom Pelissero, and you hear him talk to Steve Smith, and you hear guys that have covered him saying how coachable he is, and you hear him admit saying, hey, I got a lot of flaws, I need to continue to work, but that's what I'm doing, you know, I've continued to try to grind and get better each and every day. And you know, just his leadership skills, where he says you know, at the pro day that, you know, he doesn't really care about the whole media thing. He's actually more excited that the rest of the guys that are from Florida that are going to be drafted had all those eyeballs on him, because all those guys were there to see him, but all the guys that were out there performing with him, his brothers, as he called them, all had eyeballs on them, and they might be able to improve their draft stock because of something that was seen at the pro day. So he just seems like a guy that would know how to lead a team. And it's funny, watching his pro day and listening to him talk, Chris, I started having like flashbacks to Jalen Hurts, and the reason why I was a big Jalen Hurts fan when he was coming out of Alabama and Oklahoma, and I covered him in the Big 12 at Oklahoma. So, I mean, I obviously saw a lot more of him than I saw of Anthony Richardson, but just knew that his work ethic was there. Just knew that he was a guy that knew he had a lot of work to do to get better, but was going to put in the work to do it. And I don't know, man. I'm starting to get those same vibes that's who Anthony Richardson is. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, a couple years into him starting in the league, he's going to take his team to the Super Bowl. But, man, I'm telling you, with that athletic ability, and if he has a work ethic that is what I believe it is, some team could get a really good player.
If you see, to me, like, I'm right with you. I don't put too much stock into pro days outside of, like, can players confirm who they are? Like, right. I covered Pitt pro day because I covered Pitt athletics for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. And, like, Israel Bonacan is their running back. He ran a 4.34 in the 40-yard dash. And that's not surprising to me because I'm like, I covered him. I wanted to see how right. well had he trained. Can he confirm? Okay, he has that speed. That's what you want to see there. Anthony Richardson proved his point in the combine when – he came in, like, you know, if you follow, by the way, if you don't follow him, Kent Lee Platt has at Math Bomb, where he does the relative athletic score on all every draftee going back to like 1987 or some crazy stuff like that. And the relative athletic score compares a player to that position over that entire time. Anthony Richardson grades as the number one athletic score quarterback in the history of these grades because he has a perfect 10.0.
Don't tell me that, man. Don't tell me that. That's like a death nail, right?
I mean, I'm just reporting the facts.
I'm already knowing.
he's a little over 6'4". He's 244 pounds. His vertical is 40 and a half inches. I mean, that's better than a lot of the wide receivers. That would have been the best wide receiver vertical jump this year at the combine. His broad jump is about 10 feet, or not 10 feet, excuse me, 100 inches. So just under whatever that math is.
Yeah, you do the math, man. You're the one who went to school, not me.
Yeah. But he also ran a 4.43 40-yard dash, but also his splits of 10 and 20 yards were all of those were among the best ever posted by quarterbacks. The jumps were both the best ever posted by quarterbacks. It's just you complete all of that along with just what he puts on tape as far as, you know, his athleticism. And like you said, the poise that he speaks with,
yeah,
I think is what puts a lot to it, because even if he doesn't actually mean it, even if he was like, you know what, I wanted to show them dudes that I'm the real deal. The fact that if he could put that away and talk to the reporters and say, you know what, I'm here to support my guys and say the right things, that shows that he's a thinker. That shows that he's a leader. And if he sincerely means it, it shows that he's a thinker and a leader and he actually means it. Either way, very good stuff for Anthony Richardson. And I think he's put himself in that conversation of, like, you know, teams, you know, we talk about those top two guys, Bryce Young
CJ Stroud.
And CJ Stroud. Thank you. I was blank on his name for a second there. We talk about those two guys being the top guys and how, you know, they might go in the first couple picks there. But one thing we always talk about is people trading up, and Anthony Richardson could have just moved the market, I think, with the way that he's handled himself this offseason, for not just being a top 10 pick, but being maybe a top 5 pick that someone's willing to trade for. Because when you look at the NFL draft and you look at when you look at how teams are going to line up this year, you know, certain teams don't need a quarterback. Like the Cardinals don't need their quarterback. They've got one in Kyler Murray. They're not going to be doing that. So maybe the Cardinals are like, okay, well, the Panthers and the Texans, they get C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young are off the board. Who wants Anthony Richardson? Right. And all of a sudden, if you're the Lions, if you're the Raiders, if you're the Falcons, if you're the Titans, you know, the Titans got Malik Wilson, Willis Blatley. But if you're any one of those teams, you want to move up, the Cardinals can dangle that pick there the more that Anthony Richardson plays. And I think that's something else that if you're one of those teams up there, you're kind of hoping, if you have a quarterback already, you're kind of hoping Anthony Richardson does wild teams and gets them on the phone, because when he does, then your team can get some really good picks and compensation because someone gets so aggressive. I still put him at the number three spot just because I've been so locked in on both Bryce Young and CJ Stroud. I think Bryce Young to me, he just has ice in his veins. I've watched him.
He's got the it factor, man. He's got the it factor. You can't teach it. You either got it or you don't. Right.
Exactly. And that's something that I value there, along with just him being a good quarterback.
Right.
CJ Stroud, he's been doing it at Ohio State. Both of them have been doing it very well for years now. So I still rank them up there, but he's put himself in that conversation where, you know what, maybe he is the third, fourth, or fifth guy off the board this year. And I think that's kudos to Anthony Richardson and his team that's helped prepare him.
Yeah, no doubt. And the thing about it is, and you touched on it, I think he just made Arizona's day, right? Because the Cardinals, as you mentioned, they don't need a quarterback. So now they're up there saying, hey, by the way, don't forget about us. We're sitting here at number three. Mm-hmm. You want this pick, come get it. You know, Anthony Richardson really might – he might unseat C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young as the number one overall pick. I don't think so, but he could, right? And if he doesn't, then again, going back to Arizona, sitting there at number three, who doesn't need a quarterback, that means the Colts could move up from 4 to 3 to go get him, then ensure that they go get him. I think Will Levis now is clearly the fourth best quarterback in this draft as far as drafting guys. You know, I think it's going to be, like I said, C.J., Bryce, whatever the case is, 1-2, whoever. I think Anthony Richardson goes next, and then Will Levis after them, and then probably Hendon Hooker will be the fifth quarterback taken, whenever that is. But, yeah, there's a bunch of different teams now that they've got to be looking at themselves and talking and saying, hey, you know, if this guy is coachable, if he's intelligent as it seems he is, and he'll be taking his top 30 visits, obviously, with a bunch of different teams, so they'll get to know him up close and personal. But he's muddied the water a little bit, man. I think he's made the decisions a little bit tougher on these teams, and so it's going to be interesting how it plays out. It's less than a month before that day in Kansas City when it all gets unraveled and it all starts to come together and make sense. So there's plenty of time for moving and shaking with these teams and kind of jockeying for position to see who they're going to get at the top of the draft.
We'll keep you updated right here on the Locked On NFL podcast about that, as well as all of our podcasts here on the Locked On Podcast Network. We're going to switch pace a little bit, and we're going to talk about the owners' meetings, because Q was on hand with the owners' meetings and some of those crazy rule changes. Not crazy, but it's going to be interesting to see how things are changing in the NFL. We'll talk about all that right here in the Locked On NFL podcast. But first, before we get into any of that, I want to talk to you guys about our great sponsors at Built Bar. With Built Bar March Madness, the Final Four is upon us, which means you're running out of time to vote on your favorite Built Bars and Built Puffs in the Built Bar March Madness bracket, which you can find at BuiltMarchMadness.com, and vote for your favorite flavors of Built Bars. And if you ain't been on Built Bars, what you doing with your life? They're the best protein bars in the world. They pack only 130 calories, 17 grams of protein. They're covered in 100% real chocolate, and they come in so many different flavors, which is why they were able to assemble a full bracket of all the different flavors that you can vote on to get your favorite. And if you vote, you're entered in a drawing where 50 lucky Locked On listeners will get a free box of Built delivered right to their door. Not only that, one Locked On fan will win a 12-month subscription to Built to have their favorite and best Built bars and puffs delivered monthly right to their door. You got to try Built. Built's the best protein bar ever. Seriously, I'm telling you the truth here. It's amazing. Built bars and Built puffs, they're great for you, and they taste amazing with real chocolate on the outside. So run to BuiltMarchMadness.com right now to vote for your favorite Built bar or Built puff and pick up a box while you're there. You can vote every day in March, and today's the last day of March. So get on it. Hop on and support your pick and get the best protein bar out there. And that, of course, is Built Bar. Back here on the Locked On NFL podcast, we're your host, Chris Carter, and your boy Q. Q, owners meetings were this past week. It's always interesting to see all the crazy stuff. And Lamar Jackson was a huge part of the owners meetings, because a lot of people were talking about it. You know, John Harbaugh was kind of putting out the fires. Other owners were talking about it. You know, you heard some things. Before we get into some of the rule changes, what were some of the tidbits that you heard about Lamar Jackson situation? Because I want to get to Lamar Jackson a little bit, but I just want to hear your thoughts or your insights on what was said there when you heard our owners' meetings.
Well, you know, it was interesting because on Monday, the AFC coaches all sat and talked to the media. And so I was sitting over at the Raiders table talking to head coach Josh McDaniels, and it started at 7:45 Pacific time, right? And so it started early in the morning, and by 7:48, John Harbaugh had just sat down, and all of a sudden a tweet goes out from Lamar Jackson saying that he had requested a trade on March 2nd and he no longer wants to be a member of the Baltimore Ravens. So all of a sudden in this room full of media members and coaches from the AFC, you see everyone look down at their phones and starts looking at Twitter. I was like, oh, then you start hearing the noise started becoming a little bit louder, and it's already loud in that room. And then all of a sudden all eyes were on John Harbaugh. It's like, hey, so Lamar just put this out, and of course, if it happened on March 2nd, John Harbaugh knows he requested a trade, but they weren't out there publicly talking about it. It was obviously perfect time by Lamar Jackson and his crew to put that out there. They knew what was going on at the owners' meetings. It was going to become a subject of conversation, and it was just one of those things where John Harbaugh had to put out the fire all day and kept saying that, you know, he was all in on Lamar, and, you know, other teams started talking about Lamar, and other coaches started getting asked, and most of them were smart and said, hey, he's under contract with another team, so we can't comment on him. So that's kind of the way that they played that off. And then a couple bounce back was like, well, actually, he's not technically under contract, so you can't talk about him. And they're like, yeah, we're going to leave that alone. Like, they didn't want to touch it. But I saw John Harbaugh. It's funny, man. Quick story. I saw John Harbaugh while I was doing my radio show walking through the hallways after the breakfast that we all had. And he was looking at his phone. And so on the air live, I said, and there's the man of the hour right there, John Harbaugh. And he looks over at me, starts laughing, and says, yeah, let me check on Twitter, see what's coming up next. So, I mean, he had a good time with it. He's a pro's pro. He was able to play it off. But, that stole day one of the owners' meetings for sure.
But let's talk about one of the bigger stories also of the owners' meetings, and that was the situation with Thursday Night Football potentially being able to be flexed.
And this was the other big subject from the owners' meeting, went from Lamar to this, yep, no doubt.
It went from Lamar to this. And we'll get back to Lamar, because Lamar Jackson had some interesting comments that we want to go over about the whole guaranteed contract and his durability. But I want to take some time here, Q, to talk about this. Now, there was a bit of confusion because initially there were reports that the NFL had already approved of flexing, being able to flex Thursday Night Football games, and switch around games, towards the end of the season there, and being able to play two Thursday night games, for some teams out there. But now there's been a report that the NFL has tabled the vote, because the owners, I think they kind of might have seen the backlash. I look at this and I'm just like, Q, you know what the best vote would be here? To stop having Thursday night football.
Thank you. I'm right there with you, brother.
It's not as good football. Right. It's often bad matchups. Players get hurt more often because of it. Or they miss the game because they can't recover from their
right.
And they're not even injury, but they're bumps and bruises that naturally come with this very physical game. And it's like none of us need it. You got Thursday. You got college football. You got high school football. If you in your area, if you're hungry for football, you got your feet right. all week long. You can get it. You can get all your NFL on Sunday, and then you get Monday night. If anything, double up Monday night football if you want more prime time. But Thursday night football, leave that alone.
Right. Exactly. That's how I feel. I mean, everyone started talking about flexing Thursday night games. I said, can they flex it right off the schedule completely? Right. That'd be great. Just get rid of Thursday night games. Flex. But they're not going to, because Amazon paid a lot of money for the rights to that. And, that was one of the big conversations when they were talking about flexing, having their ability to flex a Thursday night game. And look, I look at it two ways. It'd be great if they could flex a Thursday night game, because more often than not, we'll see, like you mentioned, a Thursday night game where the matchups are terrible. So it'd be great if they said, hey, those two teams are bad. Let's go ahead and switch them out and put these two teams there instead. So that would be great, but it's also not necessary, And then all of a sudden that sets other teams up. Like maybe the Chiefs are going to end up on Thursday night twice a year, and maybe a team like the Raiders won't end up on at all, right, because they're just not very good. I mean, they basically let it be known that all teams don't have to be on Thursday night football anymore, right, where that was something that they all had to do. So I feel like that's a competitive disadvantage for some teams having to do that. And it's funny, Albert Breer, Monday Morning Quarterback, he was actually sitting next to me, or I was sitting next to him, I guess I should say, when Roger Goodell was speaking at the owners' meetings. And he said, this Thursday night flex, Patrick Mahomes and other players around the league have already expressed their frustrations and the fact that they don't like the fact that you could flex these games, or thinking about even flexing these games, and that you're playing up to a network. You're trying to take care of Amazon more than you're trying to take care of your players. What are your thoughts on that? And Roger Goodell obviously was very defensive and was like, no, we're not trying to play up to any Amazon or any other network. Yeah, they are, because it's all about money. They're all about trying to get the money. And Amazon paid a lot of money for the streaming rights to Thursday Night Football. So obviously it's not going away anytime sooner. I'm sure Amazon's probably saying, hey, man, we need some better quality product out here if we're going to pay all this money for the streaming. So that's probably why they're thinking of flexing it. They've actually tabled that conversation till May, so it's going to pop up again. But, John Mara from the Giants was very adamant that he didn't like it. I know Josh McDaniels, the head coach of the Raiders, he told us he didn't like it. You're preparing for one team, and then all of a sudden you look up and now you have another team that you're preparing for. And again, you're putting players out there on short rest on, it could be potentially multiple times. So he didn't like it. And a lot of coaches don't like it. So it's really a bad idea. And the NFL does this all the time. They try to go ahead and say, well, let's make this little minor tweak, or let's do this. And it's like I said, they get in their own way. So I don't know what's going to end up happening with this, but there's no reason for them to be flexing games, and I'm with you 100%. If they didn't have to have Thursday night games, I'd be just fine, right? There's Monday night games. There's already Sunday night games. There's going to be Black Friday games this upcoming year. There's obviously the Thanksgiving games. I mean, look, there's so many games throughout the course of the year. We really don't need them, but we know we're going to get them because of the money.
That's the other thing. Thanksgiving games used to be special because it was that was Thursday night football. It was like, but it's a holiday and we get it. And it's part of the plan. And you go for, but every night, every week, I don't need that every single week.
And now this year, there's going to be a Black Friday game. Think about that. There'll be a Black Friday game this year, too.
Why? We don't. It's more money. It's more. I need to stop asking why. I know the why.
It's always about the almighty dollar.
But here's the other crazy part about it. And Art Rooney talked about it. He said this was his big problem with it, too, and why he was against the flexing. They were only going to give these teams 15 days notice.
Right. Yep.
Like 2 weeks. Yep. Like, you got to change up your entire training plan for weeks to be able to get ready for stuff like that. It messes you up. Like, when the Steelers and the Ravens had to do that crazy game when the Ravens kept getting all these players on COVID, and they said, well, we can't play when we said we play, and then we'll push it back this day, and then we'll push back another day, and they pushed it back like 5 days or whatever it was, and the Steelers were just sitting there like it's, we can play the game, but we have these training schedules set for how to treat our bodies, and now we got to do this on top of the fact that they lost a bye week that year. And I think, you know, Mr. Rooney, when he was there, he was talking about it, he was like, hey, like, you know, this is too short of a turnaround for teams to just flex from Sunday to Thursday. Like, it's ridiculous. I also think if you're going to do a Thursday night football game, that team deserves to get a bye week beforehand because you should not be playing in 3 days after another football game. That's just too much. If we're actually caring about safety, that's just ridiculous.
They don't care about safety. They care about money.
They don't. They care about money.
Yep.
So, I'm right with you, Q. It's hogwash. It's malarkey. It's foolishness. They need to get that stuff out of here. The only flex that'd be a good flex for Thursday night football is if they cut it off, except for Thanksgiving and like special occasions or something like that. Anyways, we got to get to the Lamar Jackson talk because he did clap back at people who were coming at him about his durability. And we'll talk about some of the interesting numbers that come in with the guaranteed numbers out there that are out there for other quarterbacks. We'll talk about that right here on the Locked On NFL podcast with Chris Carter and your boy Q. But first, before we do any of that, love to talk to you guys about our great sponsors at FanDuel. FanDuel, of course, is America's number one sports book. If you're not on FanDuel, this is your chance to get on it because they have what's called the no sweat first bet for all their new customers. You make a bet, and if you lose it, you can get up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Just go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn, then sign up today, and you'll claim your no-sweat first bet. Then you can wager up on everything from the money line to point spreads to which team will be cutting down the net if you're betting on March Madness. You can also bet on the NBA as they get closer and closer to the playoffs, all in an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Don't miss your chance on a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 back in bonus bets when you join FanDuel today by going to FanDuel.com/LockedOn to sign up. Make every moment more with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Back here on the Locked On NFL podcast, Chris Carter, your boy Q. Q, I feel like every week it's our duty to talk about Lamar Jackson because it's always in the news. And I know some people
are not resolved. The situation's not resolved yet. So you can't ignore it, right?
You cannot, like you said, owners meetings, and we covered it on this show earlier this week. Yep. Owners meetings, there was, you know, talk about it. There was, you know, some, you know, that because he tweeted out that I asked for a trade on what was it, the 5th or whatever,
March 2nd. Yep.
And then 5 days later, that was when the Ravens gave him the non-exclusive tag and all the drama that's come from that. But one thing that's been brought up by, you know, people publicly, you know, the Falcons owner brought up, you know, he questioned his durability. Meanwhile, you know, he was offering a quarterback last year in Deshaun Watson who had torn his ACL twice. And Lamar Jackson had some interesting things to say back at people, you know, about his own durability. He said, quote, "Let's get real. I rather have 100% PCL and then go out there and play horrible, forcing myself to put my guys in a bad situation just to be selfish for myself. I don't remember me sitting out on my guys week one versus the Jets to week 12 versus the Broncos. How come all of a sudden I sit out because of money in which I could have got hurt any time within that time frame when we know the Super Bowl has been on my mind since April 2018 when he was drafted by the Baltimore Ravens?" You know, he talked about when, you know, when he traveled to Pittsburgh, his PCL got inflated, and a few of us discussed him. And he said it would be okay to stay back so he could try to recover faster. And you know, we were talking about a Q during the run up to the playoffs. There were reports leaking from different sources and different people that were reporting and saying, "Oh, Lamar Jackson's actually fine. He could play. This is about his contract." And then like Marlon Humphrey and the Ravens were saying, "No, he's not fine. He's literally in a boot hobbling around the facility right now. Whoever's telling you that is lying." And you know, we talked about this just last week or a week before that. You know, I think that Lamar Jackson and the Ravens are not helping the relationship with Lamar Jackson if they wanted a plan with him long term. And now this continues to look this way. And of course, the conversation that's been around Lamar Jackson is there collusion? And of course, collusion just means NFL owners talking to each other, front offices talking to each other, and being like, "Hey, I'm not going to touch him if you're not going to touch him."
Right.
And who knows if that's actually having to happen right here. But the bottom line is, this is an MVP quarterback in the prime of his career. He's played exceptional football. And yes, he's had some injuries, but so have a lot of people, I believe. And it just, when you look at across the board, it doesn't make sense that someone doesn't want him. And they say, "Well, it's the guaranteed money." Well, it now come out, he doesn't want a fully guaranteed contract. He just wants enough guaranteed money that compares him to Deshaun Watson's guaranteed money in his contract. Q, is this ever going to get resolved, or are we just going to be sitting here? He's going to just play out on that franchise tag, and then we're going to be right back here next year when he's a free agent.
That's a great question, man. I wish I had the answer to it, right? I bet you Lamar Jackson wishes he had the answer to it as well. It just seems like it is a no-win situation, and it's a situation that feels like it's not going to get resolved, right? And there's so many different reasons why this is. And again, I was at the owners' meetings, and I heard guys like Ron Rivera talking about it's not necessarily collusion. It's pick up the phone, call, see what the kid wants. Oh, he wants too much. Okay, how am I going to field a team? All right, never mind. That's not going to work. So that was something that, you know, he kind of referenced, and I heard him talking to a Washington radio station. That's how I heard that. But it's just, again, I mean, we can call it whatever we want to. We can put any fancy title on it. But again, the owners' meetings, they were all there in one spot in Phoenix, Arizona, the Arizona Biltmore. All the owners, all the coaches, all the GMs were all there. So if you think that they didn't talk to each other about this situation, you're crazy, right? I don't know if they necessarily came to an agreement or a pact and said, "Hey, we're not going to go ahead and make a move for him." But they also just said they probably had conversations about, "Well, what do you think about it? What do you, you know?" And just kind of, you know, spitballing off of each other. And what I feel like is nobody wants to be that second team to give a fully guaranteed contract. And, you know, it's so funny when I hear that, and I've heard plenty of people tell me that, and I always think back to Kirk Cousins. I was like, "Wait a minute, that dude's had multiple fully guaranteed contracts." And I know they're not super long-term, but 2 years here, 3 years there, franchise here, franchise again. I mean, that dude's made so much money on fully guaranteed money for a quarterback that's just like, he's all right, but he's, you know, right. he's good, but he's not great, but he's making great money, right? And he's somehow won at the game of life and has got so many guaranteed contracts. I feel like the injuries that folks talk about when it comes to Lamar is really an excuse at this point just to give them an out to that they don't have to really address that situation. But again, I mean, and I've said it so many times when it comes to hiring coaches, hiring GMs, doing what you can't force anyone to do what they don't want to do. It's the bottom line. You cannot force a team out there to say, "You know what? Yeah, we're going to take a shot at Lamar Jackson," even though they probably should. They probably should look at him and say, "This guy is a former MVP. He could help our team be great." But they don't, they can't, you cannot force them to do it. If they don't want to, they'll find a way to check the box that says, "Okay, we did our due diligence," and no, it's a hard pass for us. It's just, unfortunately, it's the nature of the beast. These guys are billionaires for reasons. They're the owners for reasons, and they're only going to do what they do. Cleveland got desperate, and it reeked of desperateness when they made the move for Deshaun Watson, and the rest of the league is trying to show that they're not as desperate as Cleveland was.
And I get that. You don't want to put yourself in a binding situation there. But again, when you have a superstar quarterback the way Lamar Jackson is, and I don't care what anybody says about, "Oh, he's a running back, he's this, that."
Right.
That man's a superstar quarterback. He's an NFL MVP. He's thrown 36 touchdowns in a single year while only throwing, what, 9 interceptions. Mm-hmm. He's been phenomenal in all doing so without a real receiving core. I don't care what anybody says about Mark Andrews. Mark Andrews is a good tight end. He's not in the best conversation. Everyone knows he's in that tier that comes after that tier of tight ends, but you know, Hollywood Brown was his best receiver and they traded him away, and right. He wasn't even like you know, comparing him to, you know, other receiving cores just in the AFC North alone. You know, some of the groups that Ben Roethlisberger worked with the Steelers, Hollywood Brown would have been the third, maybe fourth option on some of those. He'd be the fourth or fifth option with the Bengals right now. So like, you know, I just, again, I look at those situations and I just think it's completely and utterly ridiculous when people bring those up. And yeah, you're also right. Like, you know, Lamar Jackson, yeah, he's missed some games here and there in some seasons. This past year, he ended it with an injury, but you know, he's never been taken out for the entire season the way Joe Burrow was when he was injured, when he has his ACL torn. And you know, I think that there's legitimate questions there, and Lamar Jackson continues to push them. And like you were bringing up with Kirk Cousins in his career has officially made a career earnings, according to overthecap.com, of $201.4 million. Then after this year, that'll jump up another $30 million once everything is paid out from this year's part of his contract with the Minnesota Vikings. So like you got a guy, Kirk Cousins, who, you know, yeah, he's gotten a lot of that's been guaranteed money. In fact, if I look at
it's like four contracts that have been guaranteed, right? He had two franchise tags that he's hit. Then he got the first contract with the Minnesota Vikings fully guaranteed. He got another contract extension with the Vikings fully guaranteed. So yeah, man, I mean, that dude's, again, he's winning at the game of life because he's figured it out. Yeah.
And this is not bad about Kirk.
No, it's not bad about him. He's signed a bunch of shorter deals that are all fully guaranteed. And look, as far as I'm concerned, if that's the way to go, then do it. Go sign the shorter deals and get the fully guaranteed money. I don't care what the contract looks like. The only thing that ever matters is the fully guaranteed money. That is it. And see, the other thing is, if they make a move, if a team in the league makes a move, or even Baltimore makes a move and gives Lamar a fully guaranteed contract, you mentioned Joe Burrow. What's going to happen when Burrow's contract comes up? What's going to happen when Herbert's contract comes up? What happens when Jalen Hurts, who was not a first-round pick, a second-round pick, his contract comes up? All these guys will have the right to say, well, he got a fully guaranteed contract. Why shouldn't I get a fully guaranteed contract? And that's what the NFL owners are fearing. They're fearing the domino effect. We all saw how it's gotten, you know, when one contract, when a quarterback signs one deal, the next guy ups them, you know, one ups them. So they don't want that to happen all of a sudden with the fully guaranteed. Then you look up and you got 32 quarterbacks around the league that got fully guaranteed contracts.
I mean, you look at some of these contracts. Kirk Cousins, of that $201 million he's so far earned, $139 has been guaranteed. When it jumps up to $231, it'll be $149 million of that has been guaranteed. It's a lot of guaranteed money right now. And I think it's tough for it's different for Lamar Jackson, because right now, like, you know, he was on the, you know, he had a rookie deal. Rookie deals, that's what they are. They, you know, they're, you know, they come with a lot of guaranteed money stacked into them. You do the fifth year option, that's fully guaranteed. If this year's franchise tag, you know, if that is agreed to, and that's what he plays on, that'll be fully guaranteed. That'll be, you know, part of that number right there. But you know, as far as, you know, getting paid multiple years in guaranteed money and knowing that no matter what happens, that money's going to be in his pocket. That's what he's looking for, and I think that he's fighting for it. I also think this is bigger than just him. I think it's the NFL owners that are just like, I mean, when Deshaun Watson signed that contract with the Browns, there were a lot of owners who, you know, groaned publicly.
Yeah.
Like, why would they do that? Because now it's going to change the market, and now it's going to put pressure on all us to do these things. And this isn't to say that owners are right. You know, they're just trying to keep in the case. You know, you go to baseball, you go to NBA, you go to all, they're fully guaranteed. You know, like, you know, it doesn't matter what happened. You sign a contract that is your money. In the NFL, it's, you know what? You have this money that's partially guaranteed, this money here that you get. But at any point in time, if we say, nah, we're good, we could take back the rest of this money. And that's what I think is a battle right now, is for NFL owners to not lose that power at the bargaining table.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a lot of lots to have to do with it, right? And I mean, Steve Bisciotti was one that was very open and adamant about he did not like the Browns deal for Deshaun Watson, and obviously he knew that this was going to happen with Lamar Jackson. And again, all these quarterbacks will have the right to say, well, why not me? Why not me? If there's one guy that should be getting a fully guaranteed contract, it ain't Deshaun Watson. It's probably Patrick Mahomes, right? I mean, if there's one guy that really actually deserves one in the league, it's probably Patrick Mahomes. I still can't believe Cleveland gave Deshaun Watson all that money with all the issues that he had going on. But that's a whole nother bag of worms. That's a whole nother conversation. We ain't got time for that here on the Locked On Podcast Network. As myself and Chris Carter, we definitely stick to the time all the time.
Certainly, yeah, we never go over our time. Ross Jackson's never sending me an email, hey guys, cut that down. Me, speaking of which, we got to cut this down because we got to get out of here. Thanks so much, Q, for reminding us of that. We are over our 30-minute time that we're supposed to be on here. But we hope, we thank you all for rocking with us for more than 30 minutes here on the Friday edition of the Locked On NFL Podcast. Q, let people know they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
At your boy Q254 on Twitter is where you can find everything I do, from the Locked On Raiders, Locked On Bets, Locked On NFL. Got everything Locked On covered. Again, you can find everything, all the links, always at your boy Q, at your boy Q254 on Twitter. What about you?
Absolutely. You can find me, Chris Carter, at Carter Critiques on Twitter and Instagram. You can find me on Locked On Steelers, just like you find Q on Locked On Raiders, Monday through Friday shows, just like Locked On NFL on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and especially YouTube. Like our videos, subscribe to our channels to get all of our updates. You can also read my work at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, where I cover all things Pitt Athletics. If you want a player from the Pitt, that from Pitt this year, like Kalijah Kansi, defensive tackle, or running back Izzy Abanikanda, I was there on hand for their pro day. I wrote a whole analysis piece on him. So you can go check that out at post-gazette.com. Thanks again for checking out the Locked On NFL podcast. We'll be back next week, breaking things down and getting ready for another weekend as we get closer and closer to the NFL draft.